When a couple's really in love, why do they say it so frequently? They said it yesterday, nothing's changed, why repeat it again today? There are more reasons for expressing love verbally than just informing the person of a fact.
Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Verse 1, therefore, my brothers, my beloved, you whom I long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. he is laying it on thick. Not only did Paul show love when he talked about people, good gossip, he showed it when he talked to people. Now, raise your hand if you want to make progress in your spiritual life when it comes to loving people better. Okay, good. All right, good. So if you want to increase your love, one of the best ways to do it that I'm learning from this passage is learn to verbally communicate the love that you already have. So like, I don't have very much love. I only got this much love. Okay, take this little bit of love you have and say it. Say it. Verbal communication is one of the most basic expressions of love there is. And again, Paul keeps telling us to follow his example in this letter, and he keeps on expressing his love. The more you love someone, the more you will communicate with that person. It's just a function of love. When you get mad at someone, what's the first thing to go? Communication, right? You stop talking. You give them the silent treatment. You start talking to everybody else instead of the person you're mad at. You don't tell that person what's on your heart. You don't respond to their questions. Communication stops. But love communicates, and it communicates in loving ways. That's what love does. I'm always amazed in a marriage when a man or a woman will say, oh, I love my spouse, I love my wife, I love my husband. And yet when you hear them talk to their spouse, there's no hint of love in the way that they talk. No warmth, no affection, no indication that there's even a flicker of love in the heart, in the tone of their words and in what they're saying. We try to convince ourselves that we really do love someone because of the actions that we're doing on their behalf. I break my back earning and bringing home a paycheck for her. I clean the house for him. I do that. But if it were really genuine love, it would find its way into your speech. That's just the way love is. And so Paul teaches us by example throughout this book, especially here, to speak in loving ways to one another. Let's just verbalize it. And he does it in writing too, by the way. And that's something I mentioned because some people think that's impossible. The anti-email crowd. So there's people that they always think everything needs to be face-to-face in person, nothing in the no written communication. And the reason they give for that is they say in an email, and I've heard this once, I've heard it a thousand times, in an email you can't get tone, you can't get mood. And all too often that's true, but I'll tell you, it doesn't have to be true. You can communicate tone in written communication if you put some effort into it. You can. You just have to put some effort into it. Now, recently, I have received some emails and texts that have been incredibly warm and had loving, kind tones to them, so much so that they really encouraged my spirits, lifted my spirits, gave me great encouragement. It's a little text. I mean, would anybody in this room argue that you can't pick up on Paul's tone, his warmth of love in verse 1? Can you pick up on it? My brothers, my beloved, you, I love you, I long for you. If you want to communicate a warm tone, all you have to do is refer to the person as a dear friend whom you love. That does it. I think if our emails were like Philippians 4:1, I don't think anybody would have any problem sensing warmth and love. But it takes some intentionality, doesn't it? It takes some intention. And the problem usually isn't that it's written instead of face-to-face. Usually that's not the problem. The entire Bible is written and not face-to-face. And a lot of you wrote love letters to your spouse years ago, and they had all kinds of tone and warmth and everything. The problem is usually we get caught up in just conveying information instead of expressing love. And I'm like the worst offender at this. Worst offender. This was such a rebuke to me. I mean, I'm learning so much from this. But, you know, failing to put forth the effort to communicate warmth, that can happen face-to-face, verbally, just as much as it can in an email, can it? And I do that. I mean, I'm just one of these bottom-line types. Let me just give you the summary. I'm not going to tell you anything other than, because I don't like people clogging up my ears with a lot of extraneous words. And so I think that's what everybody else wants. And so I'm just like, okay, here's the bottom line. And you know that we've all heard that, just the joke about the wife, oh, he never tells me he loves me. And the husband says, I told you I loved you 20 years ago when you got married. If anything changes, I'll let you know. That doesn't work in a marriage. It doesn't work in a church. And I realize I've been guilty of that in church. I just assume these people know I love them. But if it's real love, you're going to say it. You're going to keep saying it. Because that's what love does. Two people, a man and woman, fall in love and they just keep on saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. They just keep saying it. Why do they keep saying it? Discipline? No, they want to. They keep saying it because they want to. That's what love wants to do. It wants to communicate itself. So, let's see from these five things, go back in verse 1, what we can learn about love, the facets of love. Because a lot of times there will be one piece or another missing. So let's look at these. The first one is family warmth. He starts out by saying, my brothers. He calls them that multiple times in this book. Six times in four chapters he says, my brothers. He really does think of them as family. And he goes out of his way to communicate that family warmth. So let's start there. Let's communicate family warmth to each other, especially in times of conflict. Paul is about to correct them in verse 2, but in verse 1, he just pours out the more expressions of love than any other verse in the book. So often, it's the other way around. We have all kinds of friendly, effusive language of love when things are smooth, but as soon as someone hurts you or commits some sin, suddenly all the terms of endearment and all the affection just, poof, you know, where it goes, it just disappears. And our speech gets all terse and cold and hard. That shouldn't happen. Times of conflict are when we need to express our love most clearly. That's what we learn from Paul's example here. So we say, okay, you sin. I'm telling you this because I love you, brother. I'm telling you this because I consider you a dear sister in the Lord. I want to help you escape this sin because we're family. Again, I just found this is such a challenge to me. I'm terrible at this. I need to ask your forgiveness for my failure in this, because I know so many of you, I've just, bottom line, that's all I ever give you. Bible studies at 6. Bring a snack. You know, whatever. And I just don't think to do it. And I really need to ask your forgiveness. I want to learn this. The next term he uses is my beloved. And that's just a direct statement about love. I love you. That's what that is right there. I love you. Man, it's amazing how those three words, the power of those three words in the middle of a conflict. Right? Things can start to get heated and difficult. Somebody says that, it just changes the whole direction. Doesn't it? It just changes the whole direction. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you just need to walk away, right? You're fighting, you're with your spouse, and conversation's going downhill fast, and you need to step away. If that's the case, fine. Sometimes that's the wisest thing to do, step away. But what if right before you step away, you said those three words? Instead of, I can't talk to you, I'm walking away. Instead of that, it's like, look, I need to step away for a bit. I really do love you. I don't want to hurt you. I just need a minute. Then walk away. Husband and wife get into a big fight. And there's a huge difference between just one storming out the door and getting in your car and driving off, or saying, I love you, but I just need to collect my thoughts. I'm going for a drive. I'll be back. Out the door. Huge difference, right? Huge difference. Saying those words, I love you, can just make the night and day difference. And again, we don't want to take it for granted that they know that we love them. We say it. We say it. Because love communicates itself. It expresses itself. Saying I love you, it's like giving a hug or giving some of your time or giving gifts or protecting the person or trusting the person. All those are things that love does. And when love actually exists in the heart, it'll do certain things. And one of those things, it will regularly express itself verbally. All right, third thing that Paul says, you whom I long for. Okay, that's an expression of desire. Genuine love always involves desire to be with the other person. You're my dear brother in the Lord. Oh, I'm your dear brother in the Lord. You want to come over to my house for dinner? No. That's not love, right? If you have a hard time being motivated to go to church, check your love for the saints, because real love wants to be with the person you love. And we should love the people of God, right? Where there's real love, there's a longing and desire to be with the one you love. All right, number four, joy. He calls them my joy. Paul loved these people so much that he's suffering in a Roman prison and he's happy because of them. Just because of how much he loved them, his love for them made him happy in a Roman prison. Love has power to make you happy. Listen, seek your joy in life from loving people, not from being loved by people. Seek your joy in life from loving people. And that's not an easy thing to do, but it's critical. People say, I don't want to cultivate relationships. It's too much work. It's too much heartache. Too much heartbreak. It's just, I'm not going to do it. It's foolish. It's like a farmer that says, he doesn't put any seeds in the ground. Somebody asks him, why aren't you planting seeds? I find planting difficult. I don't find it enjoyable. Okay. Well, you're not going to have a harvest if you don't plant the seed. Farmers don't plant seeds because it's fun. They do it because they want to harvest. Invest yourself in friendships, and the harvest will be joy in your life. Sometimes you have to do some hard work to get to the real joy, to the real deep joy. All right, so the bottom line is this. Love. The key to reconciling conflicts is not just figuring out who's right, who's wrong. Okay, I'm going to make a judgment. You're wrong, you're right. You know, that's not it. When people are angry, peacemaking, just, it doesn't matter how much wise counsel you bestow on them, they're not going to reconcile while they're mad. But where there's love, it's amazing how many differences two people can have and still be just fine in their relationship.
It would be good to commit in general to just try to express love in words more often than you do now. But if it doesn't happen today, chances are pretty slim it'll happen in the future. So look for some opportunities, just in the next 24 hours, to speak some words of love that you wouldn't normally say.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of Philippians, 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.